today's daf is daf kuf yud aleph. So we got to the Mishnah around 10 lines down. The Mishnah says, Hachoshesh b'shinav. We were talking a lot about refuah, so we're continuing on that same topic. So Hachoshesh b'shinav, a person who has a toothache, lo yikma behenes hachometz, a person cannot put oil, he can't, put oil, I'd rather vinegar in his mouth and spit it out to, what's the word I'm looking for in English? To soak it around, move it around, swish it around in the mouth for the teeth. A person shouldn't do that on Shabbos. Again, lo yigma yigma chometz ben asachometz. About mitaba, that's hukadarka. What he can do is he could dip his food in. Rashi says mitaba, but kadarka ma'achalo upito bechometz. You could dip your food or your bread into vinegar and then eat the food, eat the bread, and then the vinegar is going to help with the tooth. That would be allowed because that's a normal way of eating. But to put vinegar directly in the mouth and move it around and spit it out, that would be clearly for refuah purposes. So again, lo yigama ben chometz about metabolos kedarko. The im nisrap and nisrap, and if it happens to, while eating the food and vinegar, it happens to heal and soothe the pain of the tooth, fantastic. Hachoshish b'masav, a person who has a stomach ache of some sort. So the din is, the Mishnah says, a person should not be lo yisach yain v'chometz. A person should not put wine or vinegar on that area of the body. Why not? Rashi says clearly, because de'ein adam sach oso el refu. A person only puts wine or vinegar on the body in order to soothe the pain. That's clearly for the purposes of refu. Aval, Mishnah says, aval sachu es hashemen, but you can place oil on that area because that even regular people do. Rashi says, Rashi doesn't say anything here, but that's a normal thing for people to put oil on the body. Velo shemen vered, but a person can't use some type of rose oil or oil that's been scented with roses. That would be aser, because when it comes to shemen vered, b'nei melachim sachin, only the kings use shemen vered, but not a regular person, not a regular layman. So the as it says, shemen b'nei melachim sachin shemen vered al makosein shekain darchen lasuch b'chol, because during the week that's what people from the royal family would normally do, use some type of rose scented oil. So on Shabbos they could do this as well, but those of us who are not part of the royal family, in doing so would clearly be only for the purposes of refuah, and therefore it would be aser. Rashi explains, about lo shemen vered, he adds, lefisha damav yukarav, it's very expensive type of oil, vein matzo, it's not common. It's clear when a person puts some type of rose-scented oil, it's for the purpose of refuah, and therefore it's aser. But again, since b'nei melachim do this during the week, it would be permitted for them. So the klal is, anything that you would do during the week, you may do during Shabbos. But anything that would not be done during the week, then it's clear it's being done for the purpose of refuah, and therefore it would be aser. Rabbi Shimon has this line where he says in a few places in Shas, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kol Yisrael b'nei melachim heim, all of Klai Yisrael are considered b'nei melachim, even though they're not actually part of the royal family. We are part of the larger royal family of being part of b'nei Yisrael. That's Shittas Rabbi Shimon. It's fascinating to understand Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. That's Rabbi Shimon Stam, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, that he always understands that's the godless of Adam, the godless of Am Yisrael, and that's why he always plugs in b'nei melachim. He always felt that every neshama was a big neshama, so just interesting to see his perspective. This pretty much, I think, goes well. Rabbi Shimon L'shittas, the Lagabi, many other Shittas he has. Rabbi Shimon's the one who says that Davar Shein Miskaven is Mutter, because Rabbi Shimon is all about the Kavana, about the Machshav. It's about a much higher. Rabbi Shimon didn't live in the world of reality, if you will. He lived in the world of the future, the world of Machshava. So Davar Shein Miskaven, if it's not part of the Machshava, it's not Shayach. So B'nai Melachim, even though the person himself may not be part of B'nai Melachim, he understands the greatness of an Adam. It very much connects. I happened to give a shiur yesterday in Boca, if you will, about Shammai and Hillel, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai was also very much in the same camp as Rabbi Shimon. Beis Shammai always felt, looked about the future, about the Machshava, while Beis Hillel was very much about the present, the current situation. So there are many, many shitas how this lines up with each other, but that's just about Rabbi Shimon and the godless of B'nai Yisrael, that Kol Yisrael B'nai Molachim Heim. So the Gemara now says as follows. Rami la Rav Acha Aricha Dehu Rav Acha Bar Papa. So he had a question, the Rabbi Abba. Tanan, the Mishnah says here, our Mishnah on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph says, Hachoshesh B'shinav Lo Yigama Behenes HaChometz. A person who has a toothache should not put some vinegar in his mouth. It's a form of refu, as we said. Lameimer, is that to suggest? The Chometz Mala L'shinayim. That implies that putting vinegar in the mouth actually helps soothe the pain of a tooth. V'haksib, but doesn't the Pasuk say, K'chometz L'shinayim U'ka'ashen L'einayim? That the Pasuk is describing how it's going to be a pain. In the Pasuk of Mishlei, it's going to be a pain like vinegar hurts the teeth and like the smoke hurts the eyes. Clearly, chometz is something that damages the teeth, that causes pain to the teeth. So how does the Mishnah here in the Shabbos go against the Mefurish Pasuk in Mishlei? So Gemara says, Lokashi, there's no contradiction. Ha bikua de pari, ha bichala. So the vinegar could really develop from any type of juice. You know, fruit juice is a type of vinegar. If you let the apple juice turn into cider, you let orange juice turn into whatever it turns into, it turns into vinegar. Vinegar is just a general way, it's chametz. When anything goes to hichmetz, you know, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah talks about how Dayavish was hichmetz. He became a Russia. Chametz means to go bad. Chala vinegar means when the juice goes bad, when it goes sour. So it could be apple cider, it could be wine. So the Gemara says, so it depends what we're talking about. There's a difference between apple cider or fruit juice is that turned into vinegar versus wine that turned into vinegar. So if it's bikiua de pari, if it's a vinegar that develops from fruit juices, so that's din Rashi explains here. The Gemara says kiua, yain, maybe I'm actually wrong, maybe I have a definition, but he says, yain shelo nispashel kol tzarcho banavava kasha lishinayim. If it's a wine that never developed, that never fermented properly into wine, so it's regular juice, it's like an apple juice, so that's going to be that's bad for the teeth. But if it's wine that fermented, then that wine eventually turned into vinegar, that's actually beneficial for the teeth. So that's the difference. Again, Ibais Ema says the Gemara, ha b'kiyua depari, ha b'chal. Depends which stage it turned into vinegar. Ibais Ema, the Gemara says it differently. We're talking about cases of real vinegar, regular vinegar that we speak about, wine vinegar. Depends whether he has a wound or does have a wound. If he has a cut in the tooth, so then it actually is masi. It works, it heals it. But lekamaka, if there is no wound, it's merape, which actually causes it to swell more. So it depends on what the problem is within his teeth. So the Gemara then says, Vaiter. According from the Mishnah, lo yigama behen esachom, it's a person with a toothache should not put vinegar in the mouth because it's a form of refuah. The Hatanya doesn't the Brisa teach us that lo yigama upolit about megame ubaleya. Well, our Mishnah says unequivocally you cannot put any vinegar in the mouth. The Brisa distinguishes between what you do with the vinegar, meaning what's usher is only to put it in the mouth and then spit it out. But to put it in your mouth and swallow, that would be permissible, because since you're drinking it, even though a typical person doesn't drink vinegar, but if one were to drink it, it's considered a normal thing to do, it's drinkable, and therefore that would be permitted. So how come the Brisa says, if you swallow it, you're allowed, but our Mishnah says, even swallowing it would be awesome. So Amar Abayi says, Kitna nami masisin, when our Mishnah describes that you're lo yigame ba'esachomet, it's also referring to migamea upolet tanan. It's referring to where you put it in the mouth and you spit it out. But einachanami, our Mishnah does seem to imply, but to be migamea uboleya, that would be acceptable, and that Mishnah would be consistent with his brisa. So the Gemara then says, Vaiter, Rava Amar, afil tema migamea uboleya. Even our Mishnah could be talking about a case to put the vinegar in the mouth and to swallow it, that would also be a problem. So how come our Mishnah implies swallowing is a problem, and the Brisa says swallowing is acceptable? So Gemara says it's a difference. Kan lifnei tibul, kan la'achar tibul. Depends whether you're doing it before the dipping or not dipping. What does that mean? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says here, lifnei tibul, lifnei achila mutter, shedarchan hayu litbol b'chometz b'choyo, v'arawa omer zeo tibul, v'achar tibul. Awesome. So apparently, it was a person would dip the food in vinegar. So the din would be if a person were dipping it in the vinegar and then he dipped it. It would be normal practice for a person to dip the food in vinegar and then to eat it. So it's acceptable that if a person dips swallows the vinegar and then afterwards dips his food in the vinegar, that would be acceptable. But if a person dips his food in the vinegar and then drinks the vinegar straight afterwards, that is not what people normally do. So depending what stage in the eating it's being done, that would indicate whether swallowing vinegar would be considered normal and acceptable, or be considered different and therefore a form of refuah, and therefore usher in Shabbos.
During the sehuda or after the sehuda, right?
This is the dipping is when the person eats it. He eats it with the vinegar, and that's a snack or a meal, whatever it is. So if he does it before tibul, that's acceptable. Swallowing vinegar before tibul, before dipping the food in, was considered a bit normal. If he swallowed the vinegar after the tibul, which is after the eating of it, that apparently was not normal, and that would be clearly for the purposes of refuah. So it depends on when he's doing it, lefnei tibul versus la'achar tibul. So again, if he swallows it before the tibul, before the dipping in the food, that would be acceptable. So Gemara challenges this and says, wait a second, v'neima, is that to say, midi deflei tibul shari, lacha tibul nami shari? Is that so? Why don't we say, once before tibul, that if you swallow vinegar before the dipping of food in vinegar is acceptable, we should also extend it and say even swallowing the vinegar after the tibul, after the eating, should also be acceptable. Why? The shamina lay le Rava. We heard from Rava, de'islay ho'il. He holds to this concept of a ho'il. Ho'il is a since this, then that. What does that mean? What's the ho'il he's talking about? The amar Rava, lekem midi de b'shabes shari v'yom ha'kippurim aser. There's nothing that's permitted on Shabbos and Aser Yom Kippur, meaning whatever is permitted on Shabbos must also be permitted on Yom Kippur. Why? So hold the B'Shabbos Ashari Yom HaKippurim Nami Shari. So he says that that's the klal, because since we have this Yisod, that Yom Kippur can't be any more machmir than Shabbos, so we have to conclude that Shabbos and Yom Kippur have the same heter. That being the case, here as well, if you look at Rashi to explain the question, Nema midifnei tibul shari de'ein lechasher aser lemikzas haShabbos umutter lemikzasa. There's nothing that's aser for part of Shabbos and mutter for the other part. Meaning something's either aser all Shabbos or it's mutter all of Shabbos. But once we're saying it's mutter prior to the tibul, then certainly it's going to be a mutter also after the tibul. Just look at Rashi further. The how we have shemeinan leRava beperek yomtef of Maseches Beita. Damar gavi tefila, when it comes to tefila in the mikvah. That the Katani Hasam, it says there, De'ein matbilim kelim b'Shabbos v'adam tovim. A person cannot be matbil kelim on Shabbos, but a person can go to the mikvah. And I'm reading there, we say, kelim my timer low. Why can't you dip kelim in the mikvah on Shabbos? Merava mipnei shenira kimisakin kli. It looks like you're fixing a kli. Before the mikvah, I can't use it. It's aser. I put it in the mikvah, now I can use it. I just fixed the kli. So that's why you can't do tefias kelim on Shabbos. About Adam, when a person goes into the mikvah, says Rashi, near Kemaker. Looks like the guy's just cooling off. Why are you going to the mikvah? Not because that's Aser, but because I'm Tameh, rather because I'm just cool, I'm going to the mikvah. So the Gemara says, Varmina, this makes sense. Tenech b'Shabbos. The Shari Rechitza, I understand on Shabbos you're allowed to, because you could bathe on Shabbos if it's done in the proper way. So going to Yom Kippur, rather going on the mikvah, you could say, I'm doing a Rechitza, I'm taking a bath. But b'Yom HaKippurim, the Aser Rechitza. And everyone knows you can't go to the mikvah in Yom Kippur because it's an Isser Rechitza. But Kol Yodim the Tovul, everyone knows you're going to the purpose not to bathe because bathing is Aser. So clearly you're doing this for Tevila purposes in Yom Kippur. U'mesakin atzmo, and you're fixing yourself, therefore. Ma'ik lemeimer, what are you going to explain? When a guy watches the person going to the mikvah in Yom Kippur, he can't claim it's Rechitza. Ha'ik lemigzar, atim mesakin or tzvi. So you should make a gzera of fixing the leather of the skin of a deer. But either way, it should be also because of tikkun mana. And Amar Rava says this klal lekamidi de iser Shabbos de b'Shabbos lishteri yom kippurim l'tasa. There's nothing that could be mutter on Shabbos and aser on Yom Kippur. And therefore, since you could go to the mikvah on Shabbos, so b'Shabbos lohavi l'misrei yom kippurim nami lo gazer aleh. So once Shabbos has been established as a day you could go into the mikvah, memeli, even though the klal, maybe the yisod doesn't apply to Yom Kippur, but we have this hoyel. If it's mutter on Shabbos, it's got to be mutter on Yantiv as well. There's only legabe melacha purposes. Obviously, you can't eat on Yom Kippur. The other things that are us in Yom Kippur, they're mutter on Shabbos. You can't eat on Yom Kippur, but you can eat on Shabbos. This is talking about in the realm of melacha. There's nothing that's mutter on Shabbos and us in Yom Kippur. So once we have this klal of hoyel, so here as well, once you're allowed to swallow the vinegar prior to the tibul, you should also be able to swallow the vinegar after the tibul. That's the klal the Gemara says, the hoyel. So the Gemara says, Hadar bei Rava mehach. Rava retracted from that. What did he retract from? So Rashi explains, Hadar bei Rava meha, the kodim tibul, he retracted from the din that before tibul he says you're mutter. He says, no, I'm retracting. I'm saying before tibul is aser, meaning it's aser to swallow vinegar, not only after the tibul, but even before. Umok mi masisin b'magamea polit kebai. He therefore goes back to understand our mission here on Kif Yud Aleph, like Rava, like Abaye, that the only time vinegar is permitted if you spit it out. But to swallow it, that is entirely aser, bein lifnei tibul, bein la'achar tibul, in order to have that consistency throughout all of Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Dilma, maybe mehahi hadabe. Maybe he retracted from the other din that maybe he doesn't hold of hoyel. Maybe he allows that which is mutter and Shabbos maybe can be aser Yom Kippur. Maybe he doesn't need this equation between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. And just like there could be that which is mutter and Shabbos and aser Yom Kippur, maybe he should say here, you could be mutter before tibul and aser after tibul. Maybe that's what he retracted from, his klal about hoyel. So the Gemara says, Lo sakadaitach. No one would think that Rava retracted on that din. Rava still maintains you need to have consistency between Shabbos and Yom Kippur. How do we know this? because the Tanya, there's a Braisa, and Rav is not going to go against the Braisa. The Braisa clearly states the Tanya, Kol Chayave Tevilos Tovlin Kedarkin Bein Metisha Bava Bein Biyom HaKippurim. Those have a requirement to go to the mikvah. We don't pass in this way, but those who have a requirement to go to the mikvah in the times of Tumah Vatara, if there's a din to go in the mikvah, you could go on Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av. Ah, you go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur. We see from here that just like it's permitted to go to the mikvah on Shabbos, it's also permitted to go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur. So the ho'il is still in place. Since the ho'il is in place, back to our case, once we know that swallowing vinegar after Tibul is Aser, Memela for the consistency, it must be Aser before Tibul as well. So therefore, the halacha maisa is that one could only take vinegar to the din again is the vinegar. It's only Aser to have the vinegar to put in the mouth and to spit it out. Only in that case, that's what the Mishnah is talking about. Okay.
Is it almost like a kal vachomer that if you're not allowed to, if you're allowed to spit it out, you should be able to swallow it? Meaning, it looks much more like refuah when you put it in your mouth.
Yeah, I think I said it the wrong way. Meaning, swallowing it is allowed across the board. Our Mishnah, swallowing is allowed, but spitting out would be usher. Right. So our Mishnah says spitting out is usher, swallowing is allowed. Rava said that he has his whole line. He says that it must be mutter on both ends. Bein lifnei tibol, bein achat tibol, it's both permitted. I said it wrong. You're right. Okay. The Gemara now says, ha-choshish b'masav. So we spoke around the mission, interesting din, that putting wine in the chomitz, if a person has a pain in his stomach, you can't put wine in vinegar. That's clearly for a fool. But to put oil on, that's something that people normally do. Even without refuah, people like to put oil on their body, the cream on the body. These things are okay during the week, and they do it during the week. So therefore, on Shabbos as well, putting oil on would not be indicative of any refuah. Just as an interesting topic, the Mishnah says you can't put shemen vered on Shabbos. That you can't. Why? Because since it was expensive, if a person were to put it on, it's clearly for refuah purposes. But an interesting shala comes up. There's a Gemara in Beitah that says that a person cannot spray perfume or cologne on the shirts. It's a molid reach. It's a molid. It changes the garment. It gets sticks. You can't put perfume or cologne on the skin, on the clothing. But the Magen Avraham and Taz say you also can't put it on the skin either, because it also produces reach. But the post can point out from this Gemara, it's clear that you'd be allowed to. The only reason why shemen vered, a rose scented oil, is usher, only because for refuah purposes. But lagabe molid reach, that would be allowed here. The Gemara doesn't address molid reach, and the reason is because if you spray perfume or cologne on your skin, it doesn't last very long. It doesn't change it. If it's on the garment, you could have a shirt that could smell for my parents' house. So you open up the closet, the coats have perfume like for days. Even like the winter coats in the summer still have perfume on it. It just the perfume lasts in clothing; it doesn't last on skin. So it's not really molid reach. So they try to bring a raya against the Taz and Magen Avraham that spraying on the skin should be allowed based on shemen vered. Another point they point out here, if you happen to get spray on the clothing, it's not us, it's only if you dafka do this. If you're spraying Lysol and it's the sprinkle on the shirt, that was davershein miskaven, and it'd be us, or mutter rather. It's only if you're dafka spraying on the cologne on the shirt that your molid reach would be a violation. Yeah, but there's still, that's in terms of just using what type of oil, but in terms of molid reach, you can't violate a melacha just because it's molid b'nei melachim. Just because kings like to have fresh food doesn't mean I could cook on Shabbos. So just because of b'nei melachim doesn't mean I could spray my clothing and violate molid. Okay. So the Gemara says, last few lines, ha-choshish b'masav in the Gemara here, Amar Rabbi Abba bar Zavda, Amar Rabbi Rav, halacha k'Rabbi Shimon, we pass like Rabbi Shimon, that kol yourselves b'nei melachim heim, and therefore everyone's allowed to use any scented type of oil they want on their skin. So l'meim, is this to suggest the Rav k'Rabbi Shimon sfirle? Does he really hold like Rabbi Shimon? V'hamar Rav Shimi, or Rav Simi, barchiyash mishmei the Rav, hai misuchriya d'nizaisa. What's misuchriya d'nizaisa? So Rashi explains the last line here, this also comes up many, many times in Shas, Beged korchin bibarza chavis shachar. It's a little beged cloth, the towel, a rag you wrap around the faucet of a type of wooden or pottery barrel. Mipnesh ain't a neck of shave. The hole wasn't so equal, so you weren't able to tighten it properly. So you kind of stuff it with a rag to make sure that the wine doesn't come out. And aser, it's aser to do so on Shabbos. Aser lahaduka, you can't tighten it on Shabbos in the hole. Why not? Benekev mishum schita, because in doing so, you're going to inevitably cause the wine to come out of the rag. When you squeeze it in, the wine's going to drip out of the rag. So whenever you squeeze out, you wring out a towel, it's usher. People think, the reason why you can't go swimming on Shabbos is because afterwards, you're going to use a towel. The towel is going to be so saturated, you're going to wring it out. That's not true. It's true if you're going to wipe something up where the towel is so wet that if you move it, you might come to wring it out. But after you go to the pool, the towel doesn't get so wet. It doesn't get so wet you need to wring it out. So the problem of going swimming on Shabbos has nothing to do with the towel. The biggest issue is a person drying himself up. When there's hair, and the water in the hair, the water wherever in the body there's hair, that is a problem of extracting the water from the beard, from the hair. That's a violation of shechita. But the towel itself never gets saturated enough whereby it's an issue of wringing it out. Of course, there are other issues with swimming outside of Uvdu D'chol, Zilzal Shabbos, and the concerns of building rafts. Building rafts, why it's usher to, we spoke the other day about going in rivers and lakes. Pools might not be so shaykh to be gozer and building rafts. No one builds rafts to go in a swimming pool. But at the end of the day, clearly swimming is a problem. But it's not because the towel gets so wet. It's because the hair, when drying the hair out, in theory you could air dry, you could get around all the problems of going to the pool. But Lamaisa, a person should not go into the pool on Shabbos. But nothing. They can't dry it off. They're not. They get dressed. They get dressed, and they have to. Yeah, you cannot use a towel. You can air dry if you want to do that. The best you could do, but you cannot squeeze any hair out from the body. So, and here as well, when you stuff the barrel with the rag, if it's so tight, eventually the wine is going to squeeze out. It's going to get so saturated. The rag, eventually, by squeezing it, you're going to cause the wine to come out, and that's a violation of shechita, a tolda of dash. So he says you can't do this on Shabbos. Yom Tov actually says it in Yom Tov, and I just forgot about the context we're doing here. So again, we're saying from here, so why is this usher? Why does Rav say it's usher to do so? If Rav really holds like Rabbi Shimon, who in general holds Davar Shem Miskavein is mutter, so this is Davar Shem Miskavein. So why does Rav hold like Rabbi Shimon here? It sounds like a general statement. Rav always holds like Rabbi Shimon. So does Rav really hold like Rabbi Shimon in the case of Kol Yisrael's B'nei Melachim? By this case of the usher L'aduke, Rabbi Shimon would permit it so, doing so. Because it's Davar Shem Miskavein. I don't want the wine to drip out. It should be mutter. He wants to block it, exactly. But by eventually blocking it in a tight way, it's going to cause it to come out. So Gemara says, no. Afilu Rabbi Shimon Moda. Even Rabbi Shimon would agree in this case of stuffing the hole with a rag would be usher, because as we know, it's Moda, the Abai V'Rava Demer Tevayu, Moda Rabbi Shimon B'Psikir Ratio Lo Yamos. When it comes to P'Psik Ratio, that which is inevitable. Davar Shem Miskavein is something that you didn't intend on doing. It might happen, might not happen, but P'Psik Ratio, which is automatically going to happen, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that it would be usher. So that's why, yes, Rav is consistent with Rabbi Shimon. He says, by Kol Yisrael is B'nei Melachim, that's fine. And the fact that you can't stuff the barrel with the rag is usher also, according to Rabbi Shimon, because it's a psik ratio. So Gemara says, V'hamar Rav Achia Bar Ashi, Amar Rav Halacha, K'Rabbi Yehuda. Doesn't Rav himself say we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Yehuda with respect to Davar Shem Miskavein, Rabbi Yehuda holds as usher. And further, Rav Chanan Bar Ami Amar Shmuel Halacha K'Rabbi Shimon. That Shmuel holds differently, but Rav himself holds like Rabbi Yehuda by Davar Shem Miskavein. Rav Chia Bar Abin Amasi La Belor Gavri. He taught the same distinction without any other people. Meaning, he cut out the first Amaraim. He said he didn't have Rav Chia Bar Abi or Rav Chanan Bar Ami. He just simply said Rav is like Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel is like Rabbi Shimon. And Rav Amar Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, Shmuel Amar Halacha Rabbi Shimon. So we see the Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda. He doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon. So Ella Amar Rava said, I'll explain to you, the Ani Va'ari Shebechabura Targemna, I and some other great lion, a great Talmid Chacham in my Chabur, Umani, who was that great Ari? It was none other than Rabbi Chiya Bar Abin, that we said Halacha Rabbi Shimon V'la Mitame. We paskin like Rabbi Shimon that Shemin Vered is allowed on Shabbos, but not for his reasoning. So therefore, we don't have to go to the same reasoning. What's that? So Gemara says, "My halacha k'Rabbi Shimon v'lo mitame." What does that mean? We pask like Rabbi Shimon, but not for the same reasoning. It means ilema halacha k'Rabbi Shimon d'shari paskin like him. That's permitted v'lo mitame, but not his same svara. Dilu Rabbi Shimon savar masi. He holds shemen vered actually heals, and that's why even though that's the case, it's still mutter. And Rav savar lo masi, it doesn't heal. And that's why it's mutter, because Rav, it's not really refuah. They're arguing about the metzias, whether Shemin Vered is a refuah. And that will dictate whether you're allowed to do this on Shabbos. If that's the understanding, they're debating whether it's a refuah or not. So then, Savar Rav, lo masi, would Rav really suggest that Shemin Vered doesn't heal? The Brisa says, and the Mishnah says, B'nei Melachim Sachin Agabe Makosein Shemin Vered Michal Demasi. The fact that people from the royal family would put Shemin Vered on clearly holds, clearly proves that it is, it does mirape, it does heal. So Rav does not contest the fact that Shemin Vered heals or doesn't heal. He agrees to the fact that it heals. So what does it mean we pass like Rabbi Shimon that you can use Shemin Vered on Shabbos but not for his reasoning? So the Gemara explains the end of the parak here. Ela halacha k'Rabbi Shimon d'Shari v'la mitayme. We paskin that Shemin varied aloud on Shabbos, but not for his reasoning, which is Dila Rabbi Shimon, he holds Savar Afa Gavdilo Shchiach, even though it's not very common to do so because it's very expensive and everyone knows it's all for the purpose of Refuah. It's Shari, it's permitted. Rav Savar, no, it's not true. Because Ishchiach in, if it's common, it would be acceptable. Vilo, Shchiach, if it's not common, it would be unacceptable. Lo. So while Rabbi Shimon says across the board, no matter where you are, Bein Shchiach, Bein Lo Shchiach, you could always use Shemin Vered on Shabbos. Rav says it depends on where you live. Depends on whether it's considered common. You could buy it in the regular marketplace or not. Be'asr, the Rav, in the particular place where Rav lived, it was Shchiach. It's a place where Shemin Vered was very common, was easily found, and therefore used on a regular basis. And therefore, Mishchei Devarda, you could find the Shemin Vered on Shabbos, and therefore, during the week, rather, it would be normal, and therefore it would be acceptable. So he agrees that you could use it, but only in a case where it's shchiach in that particular makom, and that's why he allows. But in general, Rav does not embrace the sheet of Rabbi Shimon. He holds, like Rabbi Yehuda, the Davar Hashem's Kavanah is Aser, this particular case, he happens to agree with him because the place where he lived was very shchiach, very matzoi. That ends the parak Hadjanalach Shmona Shratzim. Let's begin the next parak now, Ve'elu Ksharm. This is now the 15th parak of Shabbos, many prakim in Shabbos. We still have a few more to go. Mishnah says, these are the following are examples of that which is subject to the Isser, the Avmalach of Kosher on Shabbos. Just look at Rashi quickly. Rashi says, the first Rashi in the Perek here, Eilu Ksharim, HaMinuyin Babos Malachos, that which is counted as part of the 39 Malachos, the Katani HaKosher VeMatir, one who ties or one who unties, Kesher Shekayama, Shenematir Li'olome, Kesher Shekayama, an everlasting knot that stays forever, Dumya DeKushri Kuta Yirios HaNifsakos. This is the model. The source of kosher in the Mishkan was when a curtain would snap. So what they do is they tie the threads together to keep everything from breaking any further. So that's where we find this model in the Mishkan. So to any kesher shakrama that a person ties on Shabbos would be a violation of a kosher. And if you untie such a kesher, you'd be subject to the Isser of Matir. So this is going to be somewhat of a technical parak from what I recall. Certainly today's daf is technical. We have different types of knots, which we may not appreciate, but we'll go through it as best as we could. So the Mishnah says again, Ve'elu ksharim shechayavim alein kesher. The following are examples of the types of knots that you cannot do. A kesher hagamalim, the kesher used for camels to hold camels onto the muzzles. We'll see a little bit more about that in the Gemara. The kesher sapanim, the knots used by sailors for boats. Ukshem Shuchayv al Kishun, just like these are two examples where the Biachiv Chatas for tying a Kesher Hagamalim and Kesher Sapanim, so too Kahu Chayv al Heterin. If you untie any of these knots, you'd be subject to the Isser of Matir. Rabbi Meir Omer, Kol Kesher Shu Yachol Latiru Ba'achas Miyadav, Ein Chayavim Alav. He says any type of knot, you could just kind of pull the string, it'll undo the knot, no matter how strong and tight and how sophisticated it might be. If it's able to be undone with one pull of the hand, that indicates it's not a kesher shakrama and would be not subject to the iser, not a chiv chatas. It sounds like it would be an iser, but would not be a chiv chatas in untying such a knot. So the Gemara says, also even tying such a knot. The Gemara says, my kesher gamalim, the kesher sapanim. What does it mean? Not used by camel riders and sailors. So ilam, if you're going to say kitre the kitre bizmama, if it's referring to a keter, the same cloud just from yesterday that we switched the test in the shin. So it's a kesher of a kesher, not on top of a knot bizmama in the muzzle of the animal. Rashi refers to some of the rings we spoke about early in the Masecht about what you could carry on Shabbos, animals carrying on Shabbos. So part of the like the hole of the nose maybe in the muzzle. So tying that type of knot on the around the ring of the camel, that if that's what we're talking about, the kater bistadrida, not on top of a knot of astrida, which is a type of ring Rashi says as well, which is I think at the head, the tip of the boat, where you kind of pull it, you pull the rope and the tip of it. This too is the kesher we're talking about. It's a very strong kesher. That's what we're talking about. The Gemara says, "Hi kesher she'ena shekayamahu." That apparently is not a kesher that lasts. It's very easily undone. So that's not a strong kesher. So that's not the type of knot we're describing here. Ela kitra dizmama gufe v'distrada gufe. I mean, there are two knots. There's one knot that, you know, on the ring of the boat, let's say, that you tie the rope to, that was stayed forever. Then there's like a second knot you tie where you're tying it to. But that was like to the docks. That is easily undone. You tie it, untie, depending where you're leaving. But the knot that was on the ring, the tip of the boat, that like stays forever. And so we're not talking about the second knot that you tie to the docks which you tie to while it's docked, and you untie it, let it go. That's easily taken apart. It's a knot that's on the ring that stays forever. Same thing with the ring around the, I think it's in the nose of the camel, there's a rope tied around that ring. That stayed forever. Now, when you want to tie it, when you, you're stopping over, you tie the other end of it around, I don't know, some pole, to make the so the camel doesn't leave, and you untie it when you leave, you go back and forth. That second knot is what the Gemara first suggests is very easily undone. So that's not a knot, but the knot that's on the ring itself of the camel end of the boat, respectively, that we're talking about, that stays forever. That's a kesher shekayama.
That's Chodak Rabbi Meir who says that that would be awesome because he doesn't pull with one string. What would the Gemara go?
I'm not sure exactly. I don't know. The Gemara doesn't describe whether it's, you could pull off with one. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Because otherwise, the Tanakama would hold that Rabbi Meir.
There definitely are enough communities. I just don't know the mitzvahs of whether you can or not. It would come down. If you can pull with one, then it would be mutter. If you can't, then...
Probably not, because if you pull with one hand, probably it would be
fine. Yeah, I have no idea. Not sure. They don't have any descriptions here or pictures how they... they do actually have a little bit of a description here. But either way, the Gemara then says that Rabbi Meir Omer Kol Kesher, he says any knot that can be undone, Yachal Atir B'achas Miyadav, with one of your hands, that's Ein Chayav Malav. So Gemara says, Boy, Rav Achtavoy, Achvoy, Achoy Demar, Acha, he says, Aniva, the Rabbi Meir Mahu. What about a bow? Would a bow, what did Rabbi Meir say about a bow? So Mahu, Taima, the Rabbi Meir, the reasoning of Rabbi Meir is Mishum de Yachalatir Bachas Miyadav, because you could pull it with one hand, behind Nami Yachalatir, and you can. We know a bow, make a regular bow, not a double knot, but a regular bow in a shoe, you just pull one and it undoes. So that would seemingly be permitted for Rabbi Meir. Oh, Dilma, perhaps, Taima de Rabbi Meir, Mishum de Lo Mahadig. Maybe the reason why a knot in general, if it could be pulled and unraveled with one hand, that indicates it's not tight. However, high mahadig, a bow is very tight. It's a very tight thing, even though it can be undone easily. It's very, very strong. So is it about the ability to be mamish undone with one hand? Or is it just a way of saying how tight it is? And take it, the Gemara says, we don't know. Even though the language used in the Mishnah is yachal latir b'achas miyadav, it may not be dafka achas miyadav. It's just another way of saying how tight it is. So we don't know how to interpret the reasoning of the Mishnah, and the Mishnah therefore ends as a teiku, what Rabbi Meir would hold about an aniva, about a bow on Shabbos. We'll get to the definition of Kesher Shel Kriyama, how long is Kriyama for, and whether that would be any form of heter, but it's not in today's daf, I don't think. But I think the Gemara does address it. Right. The Gemara now says, the new mission begins, and we'll finish with this mission in the Gemara. The Mishnah says that Yesh Lecha Ksharim, Shein Chayavim Alein, there are some knots that a person's not chayiv on them, Kekesher Shel Gamalim, Ukekesher Shel Sefarim, that are not the same level of severity as was the knots used for the camels and the knots used for the boats. So Rashi just points out here, Yesh lecha ksharim shein chayavim alem chatas kemo shechayavim al kesher hagamalim. They're not subject to a chiv chatas. Aval, however, ela pater aval aser. Even though there's no chiv chatas, they're still pater aval aser. There still is an iser midirabanam. And the Mishnah goes on to explain examples. A kosheris isha mipesa chaluka. So Rashi explains here that kim, what is it? Oh, so Rashi explains here, it's a type of thing they wear on the shoulder. I don't know if there's an English translation here for it. It's a miftach chaluka. It's the end of their shirt. They tie the ends of it together around the neck or something, the right and left side of the shoulder, maybe, you know, kind of like maybe an apron where they put it over their neck and their left shoulder and the right shoulder. They tie that. Or chute svacha, which is something they wear on the head, a type of hat they tie. Shall piskia or psikia is a type of wide belt they wear around. They tie the ends. And rutsuos shall minal the sandal, when it came to straps on the shoe or on the sandal. Nodos yayin v'shemen, different jugs or canteens of wine and oil. They tie the top of the leather with a string. Kedera shabasar, a pot. Oftentimes they'd put on top of a pot. They wouldn't have lids like we would have. But they put a cloth on top, a towel on top. They tied over the kedera in order for it to stay. So these are examples of things which the Gemara seems to imply are usr, right? These are examples of things that are usr to be done on Shabbos. There's no chiv chatas, but it's usr to do so. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, to finish off the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Koshin lifnei behema b'shvil shelo teitzei. A person is also allowed to tie in front of an animal. We don't have a real description of what's going on here, but it's a very, Rashi says, a very thick rope. You could tie in front of the entrance of a or exit of an animal to prevent it from going through. So we'll see from the Gemara what he's describing there. So the Gemara says, Hagufa kasha. This is very Mishnah. We just learned there's a contradiction. Amris, you first said, Yesh ksharim shein chayav malen kikesher gamalim kikesher sefanim. So there are certain things, the Mishnah says, they're not chayiv, they're not as severe as tying the knots of a gamal, the knots of a sapon. But chiyuvahu deleka, there's no chiyuv chatas, but ha'isur ikah, but there is an issur midrabanan, as Rashi pointed out. But then, after explaining that we're about to introduce to you that which is asur midrabanan, hadar tani, then the Mishnah goes on to say, kosheris isha, what was this again? The miftach, the miftach of the chalukah, which is afilu chachila, which is even permitted in the chachila. She could put an apron on and make a little bow. That's completely allowed. So how come we're introducing things that are usher, but the actual examples are items that are actually mutter to be tied on Shabbos? And so the Gemara says, no, halchi kama. Yesh, the Mishnah should really read, yesh ksharim shein chayav malen kikesha gamalam v'kikesha safanim. There are certain things that are not chayiv, like gamalam, umay nidu. What are those? It's a kitra de kitra bizimama, u kitra de kitra bizirida. That's the second knot. Remember we said the first knot on the actual ring is a chiv chatas. The other knot you tie it against, you know, on the dock, that'd be an isser midirbanon. That's what the Mishnah is referring to, even though it doesn't mention it. And then that's a case where it's chiyuva hudileka ha'isurika. Period. Then the Mishnah meant to say v'yesh, and then there's a third category yesh that mutarin lichachila. There are those that which are even permitted lichachila to die. My need one of those examples kosheris mipischei chaluka and so on. Okay, we'll stop here. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow.